This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name is Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. We are going to investigate on RÚV English today a really interesting project which helps to link Icelanders and North Americans. It's been doing so since the turn of the millennium. It's the Snorri programs that we're looking at, and there are three different flavors of program that we're going to talk about with the two co-managers of the projects, Julie Summers and Atli Geir Haldorsson. Julie is in Germany, Atli is in Canada, and I'm here in Iceland at the moment. So a truly international conversation taking place. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great to talk to you. I guess we want to just outline briefly what the programs do firstly. There is one we want to focus on more than the others, and that will become clear as we continue with the conversation. But what is, and how would you describe the Snorri programs? Julie first.
So the Snorri programs are essentially cultural exchange programs with the goal of connecting Icelanders and Canadians and Americans, primarily Canadians and Americans of Icelandic descent, but not necessarily. We'll get into the details of that. And this is something that has, as you said, originated around the turn of the millennia. Actually, 1999 was the first year with the original program, which was for young adults of Icelandic descent from Canada and the States. And we've since expanded to include several additional programs, but all with the same primary goal of forging those connections and cultural interactions, deeper understanding of one's cultural identity and background. And I think that's something that has always been important and is more important than ever in our world today. So,
and Atli, where did the idea for this come from?
So the idea for this was kind of born in the mid-90s from another cultural exchange program, which is called Nordjob. And Nordjob is a Nordic youth work exchange program. And the founders of the Snorri programs, they wanted to implement something similar between Icelanders and those of Icelandic descent in North America. However, due to visa reasons and more just closed borders between the countries, that wasn't so easy. But so what they came up with is the Snorri program, which, as Julie mentioned, was first ran in 1999. And the kind of work aspect of it, and now it's not work, it's volunteering. The volunteer aspect of it is during this two-week homestay period of the original Snorri program, where participants volunteer either at local municipalities or at companies or with like their families if they're staying at a family farm, for example.
So it's about everyone learning, I guess, about these connections and connections that might be personal to them. We think of North America and its connections with Iceland, and a lot of those are very historically very well known. We know, for example, there's a town in Canada, Gimli, which is essentially an Icelandic outpost, I guess, in Canada. But I didn't realize, for example, till I went to one of the museums in Vestmannaeyjar, that there is a strong Icelandic connection with Utah. And that is one of the locations, I think, that one of the programs can go to. If you're on one of these programs, you can attend, you can spend a week in Utah as well. Atli, just a bit of detail then on that connection, which was a surprise to me, certainly, between Iceland and Utah in the USA.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, a lot of people in the Westman Islands 170 years ago, they were converted to Mormonism and invited to go to Utah with the Mormons that had settled there. And this was 20 years prior to the biggest emigration of Icelanders. So they were really pioneering this kind of travel for Iceland. And they settled there in Spanish Fork, which is in the Salt Lake City area. And they are celebrating their 170th anniversary of Icelandic, well, settlement since then, or Icelandic immigration. And as part of the Snorri West program, it's possible to go for the whole four-week program, stay 3 weeks in Canada, in the Ontario and Nova Scotia area, and then have 1 week in Utah celebrating the 170 years of settlement.
So that's on the Snorri West program, which allows Icelanders to go to North America if they want to connect with people in the USA and Canada. The original Snorri program works the other way. That is for North Americans of Icelandic descent. But I think what might be particularly interesting to a lot of people listening to Roof English Radio would be the Snorri Plus program, which is in Iceland for North Americans over the age of 30. Now, in this case, people who take part can either be of Icelandic descent or they might just have a passion for Iceland. And I know that we have very many people listening to Roof English Radio in North America who have that passion for Iceland. So, Julie, let's get into that. Let's get into the Snorri Plus program and how that works and who's welcome.
Sure. So, yeah, as we said, the original program that started in 1999 was for young adults, 20. At the time, I think it was ages 18 to 28. Now it's 20 to 30, with Icelandic descent being a requirement for participation. And then the Snorri West program was started as a reciprocal program. That was always the intention from the beginning, was to eventually have the exchange go both ways. And that's also a young adult program. But after the first couple of years of these programs running, the project management at the time saw that they were getting a lot of inquiries from people who were outside the age range for the original program, but had a great interest in doing the same sort of thing, which is to say, traveling to Iceland to explore their roots in a way that allowed them to kind of do that more deeply than simply organizing a solo trip and doing, you know, the traditional ring road and dip in the Blue Lagoon and call it good. So Snorri Plus was kind of the answer to that. And it began in 2003. That was the first group. And it is intended, yeah, for anyone over the age of 30. Generally, we tend to get more people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, people who are retired, okay, have a little more time on their hands and, you know, are not working full time anymore. But we've had participants actually younger than 30, which we do allow in some cases if they're traveling with older family members. We've had people as old as, I believe, 80, maybe even a little older than 80. Last year, our group ranged from 27 to 79, something like that. And it is essentially a condensed version of the original Snorri program. So instead of 5 weeks, it's 2 weeks. And that time is split evenly, more or less evenly, between Reykjavik and somewhere out in the countryside. So we generally won't do the entire ring road. We'll kind of focus on one region of the country. And that's how that kind of split is.
And Atle, let's just pick up on that, this idea that this isn't just a conventional trip to Iceland as a tourist might make. There's a chance to meet people who work in the same field as you, a chance to people to find Icelanders who share your hobbies, for example. Just unpack a little bit as to why this is different and why it's special.
Yeah, for sure. So some of the key elements are that it is very much a course too. This first week in Reykjavik, about half the time is spent in a classroom doing lectures and a kind of crash course in the Icelandic language. But then the other key elements that brings it kind of above are the connections that we offer to make between participants and their professional peers in Iceland. So last year we had a participant from New Jersey that has worked in the state parks and museum for her whole career. And she got to visit the Árbæjarsafn Open Air Museum and was welcomed there by and hosted by the director of the museum and got to know every bit of their operation there. Then the other thing is that we host a cousin's cafe. And during the cousin's cafe, those that do have Icelandic heritage or ancestry, they meet their cousins and they'll usually be third, fourth, or fifth cousins. And for those that join us that are not of Icelandic descent, then we again try to make these professional connections or even hobby connections. Like, for example, last year we had a participant who was the husband of a woman who was born in Iceland but moved to the US when she was very young. And he is a musician and a trumpet player. And he got to meet and do a professional visit with an Icelandic trumpet player.
And Julie, a lot of this sounds like bucket list stuff. That do you get people who have waited their whole life to make these connections and to see Iceland in this way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say so. I can speak a little from my own experience because
Sure.
I myself am of Icelandic descent, and my initial introduction to the Snorri programs was because I, having grown up knowing I was of Icelandic descent and thinking, kind of bucket list type of thinking, I'll go to Iceland someday, happened to discover the Snorri program randomly through a Google search. And so I did the young adult program myself back in 2012. And so I've experienced what that's like and how life-changing it can be. And so it's always exciting to see what applicants write on their registration forms, what they're most looking forward to. And even the ones who maybe just don't have a super specific sense, they just want to experience it, and they know it's going to be something life-changing, regardless of what form that takes. But people's specific interests will vary. Some are really interested in the language. Some are really interested in maybe politics or gender equality. A lot of these topics that do make it into the news and kind of the discourse on social media and in the public sphere in North America. And so it really varies what their primary interest is, but they all go home with a deeper understanding, a deeper love, and deeper connections.
Actually, I don't know how much detail you can give me about the schedule for this year. I've got a rough draft of it here, so you can tell me if any of this is going to happen. I know you always try to visit the Icelandic Emigration Center in the north of the country in Hofsós, which I also think is the home of the most beautiful of all of the swimming pools in Iceland. That's on the agenda then for this year?
Yes, it is. The adventure tour itinerary is basically that we'll take a flight from Reykjavik to Egilsstaðir. So we have more kind of just a shorter route on the road during the 7 days of travel, which means that we get to spend 2 nights in a few spots instead of constantly rushing to the next accommodation place. And then the route will go along the east coast, along the northern fjords, and then stop in Hofsós before heading back to Reykjavik for graduation and departure back home.
That's still a decent chunk of the coast, though, isn't it, from Eyjafjallajökull around to Hofsós?
Yes, it's pretty much the ring road, but we're kind of flying over the south coast, taking that kind of very heavily visited part out of the program this year, just to save everyone some crowdedness.
Well, we're going to put a link up to all three of the programs on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. But as far as Snorri Plus is concerned, as we have our conversation, it's the beginning of the week, and you'll be hearing this on the Friday at the end of this week. As we have our conversation, Julie, there is still plenty of time for people to apply.
Yeah, so our initial registration deadline was in January, but we happen to have extra spots open now. So essentially, we're continuing to accept registrations as long as we still have room available, which we do. So at this point, we still have room available for individuals, for couples who want to travel together, family groups. We have several spots open, and we'll kind of keep those open as long as we can until they're filled or until it's getting too close to the summer and we have to just make a cutoff at some point.
And those other programs, actually, the two other programs are, I believe, competitive. So you've got to apply and make a case for being on them. That's not true of Snorri Plus. It's not competitive.
Exactly. Yeah, the original Snorri and Snorri West programs, they do have competitive applications as we most years get more applicants than spots available, which means that we have to go through and evaluate who will benefit the most from joining the program. But for Snorri Plus, it's strictly first come, first served.
And just taking a broad sweep of all three of these programs, as we said, they were first established, or the first one was established in 1999, with the purpose of connecting Icelanders with their roots, essentially in North America and Canada, and now vice versa. Julie, do you think that is something that you feel has been achieved, maybe with reference to your own experience?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't have the precise figure in front of me right now, but I believe in all of our programs now, we've had definitely over 700 participants total. It might even be up to like close to 750 now. And of course, I mean, I can say from my own personal experience, doing the program literally changed the trajectory of my life. And I could, you know, I could sit here for a couple hours and tell you about people I know from my year, from other years, for whom the same is true. We had a lot of participants, I think several participants from Snorri West who've done like a study abroad back in Canada or the US. There have been people like myself who did the Snorri program and then moved to Iceland for a year or two or more to study the language, to do an exchange program, do a master's program at one of the universities, even just do like a summer course in modern Icelandic. Snorri Plus, we had one participant from 2017, I believe, from Minnesota, who's a professor. She does a lot of work with nonprofits, and her work visit that was arranged for her ended up leading to an ongoing collaboration with professors at the University of Iceland and mutual exchange where they've traveled to the US for conferences and research. And so we could go on and on. I think it has absolutely achieved its goal, but there's always more connections to make. And I will also say what I think is really interesting to see too is that it's not only about connection between Icelanders and Canadians and Icelanders and Americans, it's also about Canadians and Americans getting to know each other, because our groups are always mixed, you know, between Snorri and Snorri Plus, that is. And I think that's a really important aspect of the program too, that's kind of overlooked, but is also very important.
Maybe increasingly so, given what's happening in the world right now for Americans and Canadians to be having conversations of any kind. And actually,
absolutely.
I'm going to take a leap here, Atli, and assume that Snorri refers to Snorri Sturluson, the poet of antiquity. Am I wrong on that? I can see a shake of the head.
That is a very common misconception.
Okay.
As Snorri Sturluson is much more famous than the actual namesake of the Snorri programs, who is Snorri Thorfinnsson. And he was born about 300 years before Snorri Sturluson, in the year 1014, I believe, rather than 1004. Mm. And he was the first European born in North America during the time of Leifur Eiríksson voyages to Vinland. And so he is the namesake of
the
Snorri programs.
Well, that would make more sense, but you can see why people might have assumed that Snorri Sturluson would have been the namesake, given that for many people, he's the first Snorri.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'll link to all of this up on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. Much to learn about. Have a look at the website, see what you think. And there is no rush, is there, to do this year? You might return to this next year or the year after if you're listening to this conversation and thinking, this is on my bucket list and this is a way of ticking off a very important item on the bucket list. For now, Julie, Atli, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
Through English Radio, my name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There's more from RUV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.